Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Monster, monster, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. The takeover at Wrexham is nearly complete, and Tony Pulis has big plans for Sheffield Wednesday. It's Tuesday, 17th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Superfly Jimmy Peter. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to your terrific Tuesday. My goodness, oh, we've got some lovely football chat for you. Before we get to that, Luke Moore, what do you got to say for yourself?
Yeah, as you can probably tell from that wacky intro from Mr. Pete Donaldson sat to my left, we have a lot of fun bringing you this show every weekday, and we certainly hope you have as much fun listening to it as well. Football chat a lot of the time. Sometimes it descends or ascends to the sound of a dog eating a carrot. You know, all that kind of stuff. If you do like it, then please do take the time to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts will be the main one for us for these purposes. So let's say Apple Podcasts. 5 stars, it'll take you 2 seconds. It'd be really, really helpful for us. Mean a lot. Helps the show a great deal. It's the best and most effective way you can help us to grow the show and to bring you lots more lovely stuff. So please do that. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts whenever you get a moment. Pause it right now. Do it. Take your 5 to 10 seconds. Then come back to us. Marcus Speller is back to you.
thanks very much for reviewing us, guys.
Review us now.
Yeah.
Before you listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Because you might be tempted to reduce it to a 4. Don't do that. Give it a 5.
Write what you want in the description. I don't care, but give us 5.
Listen to you there. Yeah, you. Yeah. On the train, listening. Yeah. I've seen some of the shit you've reviewed 5 stars. You can review this 5. It's much better.
Dirty little reviewer. Right then, chaps. Not that much football last night, obviously. You had a big win for the US against Panama.
Dockyard derby.
But we did have a Pompey point on the road.
Yeah, it's not a derby. It never will be a derby.
The Dockyard derby ended 2-2. My goodness. I seldom do we see such an intense rivalry on the south coast of England.
Well, it's so local. That's why. It splits families. You know, you've got your dad and the daughter living in Portsmouth, and you've got the mum and the son living in Plymouth, a mere 210 miles away.
I was about to say,
it's
roughly. When you're in the Nev and you do something naughty, you get banished to Plymouth, or vice versa.
I do understand that people envisage Plymouth as Portsmouth and Portsmouth as being end of the road, terrible military naval towns with lots of men with tattoos.
I've said before, Plymouth was always the place where when your naval dad split with your mum, he'd go to Plymouth. Happened like 3 or 4 times in my town.
Yeah.
And you live
in Hartlepool. How many dads have you got?
Yeah, that's Hartlepool. That's a long journey.
Yeah, I know.
No wonder they go there.
That's Derby.
That's not local.
No, that's very much not local.
No, but it was a good point for Portsmouth on the road. I think it was probably a fair result from what I saw as well. So.
I'm beaten away from home this season, Luke Moore. Yeah. They slip into the playoff places.
Calamitously.
Slipping their way to the championship.
Like Pete occasionally slides into my DMs.
Yeah.
Portsmouth have slid into the playoff places.
Mm. Oh, dear.
And they'll be there at the end of the season, and they get knocked out in the semi-final. And then we'll repeat the process.
Indeed. But, you know, to be fair, they could do with getting a bit further up the Pompey Highway back to the championship.
They could. And because...
Reversing up it, of course.
Because, of course, fans aren't allowed in stadiums at the moment. Fratton Park's a big deal for Portsmouth, more than a lot of clubs, I would say. And the fans are not being able to air their grievances on match day.
Yeah.
And it's happening on the Instagram feed.
Where do they take it out?
Instagram feed. I saw one the other day after Portsmouth got a draw that said, if Portsmouth don't announce Kenny Jackett's sacking by 10 p.m, this club is finished.
To be fair, is it fair to say...
Been around since 1898, but that's the final straw.
This club is finished. It's like the start of a Mel Gibson film.
Yeah.
He's got to save
Kenny Jackett have gone though already? He managed to use a sailing analogy.
People aren't very happy with the football he plays, and there is a reasonable amount of ire happening down there. But, no, again, we've started okay.
Can you let me finish my sailing analogy?
Sorry, please.
Boat.
Right.
Carry on, Marcus.
We're asking for 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
And that's what you're turning out.
Well, hopefully they've already done it.
Yeah, exactly.
So the overwhelming feeling among people will hopefully just be regret rather than anger.
If you do want a 5-star Portsmouth experience, get yourself down to Gunwolf Keys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Boat. anyway, that ship has sailed, and we now move on to Derby County. Yes, Philip Cocu was dismissed on the weekend. So Wayne Rooney is sort of player coach, really. I mean, you've got Rooney, Liam Rosinha, Shay Given, and Justin Walker, who have sort of been put in temporary charge. That's a nice little consortium of managers. Something we haven't really seen that much. You remember co-managers from back in the day.
Yeah.
Even Liverpool had co-managers with Houllier for a bit.
And Evans.
And Evans, yeah. So, you know, it was a thing. But a consortium of managers is
are you worried that amount of chefs is going to spoil the broth?
I think that Wayne Rooney is the hardest one out of all of them, and will have he will get the final say.
He's still, still fairly trim, Rooney. I mean, he's playing obviously for Derby as well.
Well, that's why.
Partly. I know that Philip Cocu had trouble. I'm going to try and say this kind of tactfully. That Philip Cocu had trouble getting his ideas across to the team, and I don't think that some of the players there thought he was the best communicator.
I see,
there's absolutely no way that Derby County with that squad of players should be bottom of the championship. I mean, that's obscene.
No.
Yeah.
That is obscene.
But do you think I don't know what it's like nowadays, but I remember from quite a few years ago, the late great Sir Bobby Robson saying that in the Netherlands when he coached there, you make a decision and you have your starting 11 in the game.
The players are one on the opinion on it.
And all the subs will come and see him afterwards and go, well, hang on, we'll talk us through that, what was going on there.
Yeah.
Whereas in England, it's kind of like you just, right, they might moan or they might sort of be unhappy, but generally speaking, they do as they tell.
I know what you mean,
Possibly because maybe they think a bit more about the kind of the tactics or whatever in the Netherlands. You know, that's
quite evident from history and the influence, or the more recent influence they've had on various.
Why are you doing that,
concerts.
Boss? They're saying.
Yeah, why did you not bring me on? So maybe with I don't know if Koku if that was a cultural thing that maybe sort of got in.
Well, I think there's a feeling that among some of the players that it's a 46 game season. Sometimes I know this is going to be an old fashioned, like proper, you know, British thing to say.
Don't ask me my opinion. I'll do as I'm told.
Exactly. I don't know what I think. You tell me.
No, it's the lead manager.
Is that yes? We can be super technical, and yes, we can spend a lot of time training on technique and all these bits and pieces, the things you want us to do in these patterns of play. But it's a 46-game season.
Right,
the pre-season's been truncated. We're going to have to battle sometimes, and we're not being set up to be able to do that, as well as the fact that he found it difficult to get his ideas across. And what I do also know for a fact is that Wayne Rooney is massively popular among the players at Derby.
They
love him.
Of course they do.
And I think that everyone's been really enamoured with how he's settled in, with how he's put it in, and how good he's been at training and all that kind of stuff, and how good he still is. I know that it's been talked about that Rooney won't take permanent charge, and there's been some high-profile managers, including Eddie Howe, linked with the job.
And John Gregory.
I know.
I was looking at some of the players. Eddie Howe, you think, well, that makes sense. Yeah, I'd understand that. Roberto Di Matteo was mentioned.
The Champions League.
You think, oh, right, I suppose he was there when they won the Champions League. Yeah, he was there. And then John Gregory. I thought,
Marcus, John cannot get his hog out to tear across America. That was him, wasn't it, John Gregory?
Yeah.
He sort of like, didn't
was
he
it?
Have,
I was think
John
so.
Gregory?
Was that
Phil Brown?
Oh, I think I get those two mixed
similar
up sometimes,
tab.
Right? Yeah.
I think the John Gregory story is probably told and solved by, I've said to you guys before, I've been on radio shows where someone on the radio show with me has got a text from a manager saying, can you please talk about me to link me to a job?
Yeah.
So I remember John's been on the phone.
Well, did Pete get a text from John Gregory there?
Yeah. But no, John Gregory has been linked, and you wonder whether that's going to excite the Derby fans. Possibly not.
You do
but
wonder.
But I also heard that when Frank Lampard was managing at Derby, he was so good in training that it actually became quite annoying to the players as to why he wouldn't play. Just play. You'd be brilliant. Yeah. Just play, and he wouldn't.
He's teaching the centre midfielders. Right, this is what I want you to do, right? Yeah. You arrive late, and then you stick it in the corner. Frank, you do it.
Yeah, exactly. You're here.
Yeah. Sometimes if you can't get the angle, hit it off the defender, and it'll go in.
You're arriving into the box too early. How many times?
Back.
Having like a popular, talented footballer as your temporary manager a little bit? Like, I know he's very popular with the squad and stuff. It's a bit Thierry Henry at Monaco.
Bad idea. As Glenn Hoddle found out at, I think it was at England.
I think Glenn Hoddle was fractionally older than Wayne Rooney is now.
He is. Not by much, though. But
people were older then, though, weren't they?
Yeah. I think Hoddle at that particular moment in his life was maybe not as relatable to some of the players.
Yeah, true. Marcus, people are older. People were older then. If you go back to the 50s, people were really old when they were like 20.
Oh, people retired at 25.
Yeah. You know? they had like 18 kids.
I think with Rooney, though, one of the sort of compliments that you could pay to him at Derby is that, and I don't mean this in terms of he's been invisible on the pitch or anything, but the fact is sometimes you think, Wayne Rooney is at Derby County. And what I mean by that is like the sort of media circus around it. You don't hear him, in the media that much. He is just going about his business. He's not sort of like, right, I'm the big man and now I'm here. Obviously the club will go up a bit in status and blah, 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 even though it was a big club and they were close to promotion the other year. And I think probably the players like that he's mucked in. And yet you can think to yourself, hang on, this guy's record goal scorer at Manchester United in England, for crying out loud. So he's had quite the career.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's easy for me to say is that I don't support Derby. I don't watch them every week. And I imagine there'll be some Derby fans listening to this who are frustrated, saying, well, cheers, but we're not winning any games.
No, of course. So, but it was more to the point of that Rooney was popular with the players.
Yeah, he settled in well, I think.
So it makes sense for him to kind of take a little bit of charge at the moment. But of course, there's a takeover in the process at Derby County, which is not complete. I think they're waiting to see, presuming that takeover does happen. If it does, then obviously the proposed new owner, Sheikh Khaled, will probably want to be involved in the picking of a new manager. This chap, Sheikh Khaled, is the cousin of Manchester City owner, had a £2 billion bid for Liverpool rejected and a £350 million bid for Newcastle United rejected.
They're always there.
A little bit cheaper.
Yeah. I didn't think that is a big drop off.
Too cheap, apparently.
Yeah.
Because no amount of money will be enough, will it?
Yeah. So, With that in mind, as I say and stress, it is a proposed takeover at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Although it does look like this one could go through. So we shall see there. At Sheffield Wednesday, Tony Pulis is, of course, the new man in charge. He's the manager. He hasn't taken over the club in that kind of way. But Pulis, he's talking a big game. He's already talking about, I want to be back in the Premier League. And he was saying, you know, if we get back in the Premier League, we've got a bigger fan base than Sheffield United. We're going to be bigger than them. And then he said, but I don't want them to get relegated. I want to beat them in the Premier League. Like, Tony, you're 23rd currently.
You're doing all your best material in the first press conference.
Assemble your backroom staff first. Fans' sheepers on from Derby.
I wonder how people who support a club that Tony Pulis has announced that kind of react, because he's got this reputation where you're not going to play much nice football. And it's a, which is people have their own opinion about, but he's been a coach for a very, very long time. I think it's 28 years or something now. Yeah, he's never been relegated.
It's his 11th managerial post.
Yeah, never been relegated either.
That's right. Yeah.
And what does Sheffield Wednesday need? Well, obviously, they've had this points deduction, so they need to stay in the division first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And you have to fancy Tony Pulis to keep him organised to do that. I didn't think he did a bad job at Middlesbrough. Mm. They obviously lost in the playoffs to Villa, who are a good team.
They're unlucky, yeah.
Yeah, and he also sold some players for decent money around the time. He sold Patrick Bamford, who we all know about now, who's flavour of the month. He sold Adama Traore for big money.
Him and Patrick Bamford were never going to work.
but he also sold Adama Traore.
Yeah.
And Adama Traore credits him. I mean, you don't have to listen to me about what Tony Pulis is like.
We want to.
Well, then you're in the right place. Adama Traore raves about Pulis.
Yeah, he's currently doing a 5-star review.
Yeah.
I was just looking.
No, it's the football ramble, Pete.
I just want to look at Adama Traore's lovely oily arms.
Yeah, he loves Pulis.
Yeah.
He sold. Who else did he sell? Oh, he sold mm-hmm. Ben Gibson, who's gone to Burnley. He's now a Premier League player for big money. So he'll go in
and sell all your best players.
Well, he still managed to keep him top six. He still managed to get them in the playoffs.
Well, I think Sheffield Wednesday, I understand that they are in the position where they are because of the points deduction as well. You know, it's not been that bad. Looking at the table could be slightly misleading. But, it's a shame for Gary Monk, because it wasn't that long ago when he was Swansea manager and we all thought, man, this guy, we don't have too many decent English managers at the moment, and he could be quite something. But it's not sort of, he's still, you know, operating in the Championship up until very recently, so it's not exactly a failure or anything. But it's a shame for Monk being sacked. And Pulis, he's a big name. He knows what to do. And I think with Sheffield Wednesday, with the position they're in, with the club being in a little bit of disarray because of that points deduction. And also, one thing Pulis said when he went in there, he said he couldn't believe the problems they've had with injuries. And it seems like it was almost slightly sort of systemic almost. Do you know what I mean? You remember at Arsenal under Wenger, they had that spell and they kept getting injuries. And what on earth's going on here? Mm. And I don't know what's happening at Sheffield Wednesday, but the way other managers have talked about it, and the way Pulis was talking about it as well, suggests that, I don't know, you know, it's something a bit wrong. So Pulis says, you know, he wants to try and sort that out. I mean, I realise that could be a bit of a, easier said than done. But it is a concern at the club.
But also, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful. Sheffield Wednesday are a huge club, amazing stadium. They've done brilliantly over the years they've been a club. They're one of the oldest clubs around, as well as we know. But, you know, it's all very well saying, oh, we want to win every game 4-0 and we want to play like Brazil 1970. Well, you ain't going to fucking do that. So the best thing that can...
Sheffield Wednesday fans go on about is Brazil 1970.
No, but, you know, back in the day, Mark, when they were a Premier League team.
Yeah, of course.
Chrissy Waddle, all the rest of
Waddle.
It.
Chrissy Waddle.
But Trevor Francis, as we've heard from on the round before.
Des Walker in the back.
Exactly. But at the moment, stay in the division. Simple as that. Stay in the division. Yeah, Tony Pulis, if I said to someone, right, you're in serious danger of getting relegated. Mm-hmm. Do you want to have a manager now managing you who's never been relegated before? Yes, please.
Yeah.
Two. I'll have two of them.
Reggie Blinker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, former Wednesday.
Yeah.
We could do this for a while. David Hurst, Guy Whittingham. Yeah. You know, anymore?
The corporal.
Yeah.
As he's now down at Portsmouth.
Paul Warhurst. Yeah.
Andy Booth.
Lee Briscoe. I could go all day.
Let's talk about Carbone.
Yeah, Benito Di Canio as well.
Alex Bruce.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Richie Humphreys.
That's the time to move on.
gentlemen, something that we're very enamoured with is Jose Mourinho's Instagram feed. He's not let us down when he posted a picture of him in the gym, and the caption said, "Amazing week of football," talking about the international break. "Great emotions in the national team matches, superb friendlies, and total safety."
And total safety.
Yeah. Total safety.
It's very positive from Jose Mourinho, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Jose, other than sort of England being a little bit stunted. You know, I had a good time as well. And then he goes on to say, COVID test results after matches have been played, randomers running on the pitch while team sessions are taking place, and much more. After another training session with only 6 players, it is now time to take care of myself.
Sounds like he's going to have a wank.
Isn't it? Not on the bus.
I'm taking care of myself. Sounds like he's about to give himself a little treat.
Everyone's away. Nobody's here. Yeah. It's time for me.
The randomers have gone.
It's time to make love to someone I really care about. Yeah.
Get one of his assistants to sit on his own hand.
Peter.
Not his own hand, on his hand.
Yeah, you take it. You know what? That wasn't the problem.
Right, okay.
You're taking it down to the gutter.
You literally were talking about onanism like 5 seconds ago.
Marcus, it sounds worse when Pete does it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Because it's real. It's real. It's more likely. Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah, so Mourinho's been piping off there, which is very, very
Pete, piping off.
Do you have any opinions
so to speak.
Do you follow Jose on Instagram?
I don't know. No.
Why not?
Because literally every breath that man takes is retweeted by every fucker on Twitter.
All right.
So yeah, don't need to.
Let's move on then.
Yeah. Don't be jealous of his follower count.
Don't be jealous of my blue tick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have got a blue tick, haven't you?
You do, yeah.
He's got a blue tick, old Donnie.
Who nicked that off?
I inherited it from my father.
He's still alive, your dad.
Good news from you, Peter, though, is you're up and running with your moped.
Oh, yes.
I am, yeah.
Set a little
Ghost
around.
Rider.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah. I figured out where the battery goes, managed to plug that in.
Born to be mild.
No, it's not legally registered for the road, so I've got to get that sorted out before I'm allowed out.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
Excellent.
I've been up and down the dirt track in front of the house.
Yeah, in front of your mansion.
Motocross madness with Donaldson.
In the courtyard or whatever.
Is it true that you're going to be the main person in the reboot of the Amiga game Paperboy?
I'll tell you what. Yeah, but Deliveroo.
Are you going to be a Deliveroo driver?
Yeah,
is that what you've got it?
Driver, yeah.
Love that, Donald.
I just want the jacket. They're cool.
Yeah.
I want to go to a rave in a Deliveroo jacket.
Oh, we've talked about jacket. Jacket out, okay? yes. Talking to people piping off on social media. Mido! Mido, former Egypt striker.
Of course I do,
Spurs.
Yeah.
Middlesbrough as well.
Remember the aristocracy, I think, if I remember rightly.
Oh, yeah, he had
a few. Did lost it last year?
Did he lose it again?
He's gigantic from
I know that, yeah.
Oh, he absolutely loves it. He's also commenting on what happened at the international break. And he said, England need a proper manager. They are wasting their time with Southgate. I remember him at Middlesbrough. He was scared to death when we were fighting relegation.
To be fair, he didn't have his badges when he started
It's
managing.
Also a great shout to find someone that doesn't like Gareth Southgate, because it's quite hard to find someone.
Yeah. When you say he didn't have his badges, Mido does sort of pause for a moment and says, true, it was his first job. But these things never change.
Mido,
I mean, people can improve.
Yeah. When you were at Bury, you couldn't displace Alfonso Alves, for fuck's sake.
I knew him when he was three, and he couldn't even kick the ball, and people don't change.
Well, he ran away from the Berbatov challenge at Spurs and then buggered off to Middlesbrough, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Well, then he finished his rant by saying, if you are scared of losing a football match, you will always be scared of losing a football match.
That's true. I mean, to be fair, he probably watched the England game against Belgium.
People can toughen up, though.
That Southgate, though? Yeah. Southgate's probably tougher than people can credit.
Hell yes, I'm tough.
Yeah. Yeah, who was that?
Yes, I'm tough.
That was Ed Miliband,
wasn't it? Miliband,
yeah. And he had a bacon sandwich and the world ended.
How we miss you, Ed. How we miss you. Poor old Southgate, but there we are. Oh, chaps, let's finish the
Strachan
first.
Strachan in. Borough.
Or England, that would be a strange fit, wouldn't it? Let's finish the first half with the Carlos Tevez update. He got a yellow card 3 seconds into a Boca game the other night. And my goodness.
It should have been a red.
It would have been the fastest red in history from the beginning of the match. Or let me rephrase that. It should have been a red. The fastest red.
The referee was like, can I do this?
Yeah.
Can I do this?
It's an absolute shocker.
He wouldn't have even felt like he'd played.
No.
That's the thing about it. 3 seconds in.
Steven Gerrard-esque.
First one's for free. You're not playing in like the first division in 1986.
How did it happen? Like, what did he actually do? Just piled in?
He goes in, studs up on the back of the calf, I think it was.
But like, from the kickoff.
Oh, man.
It's what you want to see, though, isn't it?
It's what
you want to see.
Put a marker down.
Not even Vinnie Jones was that rough, for crying out loud.
He was. Some of Vinnie Jones' challenges, if you look back now on YouTube, are an absolute disgrace.
That one on Vinnie Cantona's
Jones just isn't a footballer. Wasn't a footballer.
Not anymore.
Never been up now.
That's harsh.
That is harsh. At Leeds United, he was actually...
He could play a bit, but he was
once
ridiculous.
He got that reputation, that's all he was.
What about
he's a joke of a footballer.
What about that volley at Highbury against Arsenal when Wimbledon won 1-0?
Played in goal, did really well.
Yeah, that was at Newcastle.
Yeah. Hey, any more evidence? The evidence is piling up.
One volley
won
and
the World Cup with Wales. Yeah. Not about that, didn't you? Hey? Four-time World Player of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Scored 100 goals in one season.
He was an X-Men. Or X-Man, would you say that? Oh. I'm an X-Man.
I think, Marcus, I think Pete's forgetting that Vinnie Jones was first man on the moon.
That's right. That's right. And I'll end the first half by saying...
Oh, no, don't end the first half.
Oh, not at all. We're going to just do one big half.
I was out for a walk last week and I saw Jason Statham.
Okay, right.
Similar to Vinnie Jones.
Is that
probably
what we're getting?
Yeah. They're probably in a film together, weren't they?
They were factually in at least two films together.
Yeah, right? Oh, they were Lockstock, weren't they? Yeah.
And Snatch, yeah.
There you go. So I'm just saying, I'm adding more to the conversation.
You really are.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Appreciate
Grist
that.
To our mill.
Five stars.
Thank you.
It's been emotional.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Netbusters. Love it. Netbusters.
That is from the 1990 show Netbusters, featuring the late Eric Hall.
Monster.
Indeed.
Yeah. Eric Hall was a bit of a character, to say the least.
He was a huge character.
And a lot of our younger listeners probably won't know much about him, but he was, I mean, to me at least, probably to all of us here, the first agent you could really remember.
Yeah, right?
And when the Premier League exploded and it became full of money, Eric Hall was front and centre with a massive cigar on the go.
And I reckon he showered with that cigar in his mouth. Oh, he was always there.
And the English, what I like about when obviously there's a lot of tweets about that and a lot of like, actually not as many tweets as you'd expect, because obviously younger people don't know about him, but like people like Paul Walsh tweeted, just heard the passing of Monster Eric Hall. If you're young and you don't really know who Eric Hall is, it sounds like he ran a boys' home badly or something.
Yeah, Monster.
Monster.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But he was this kind of like larger than life kind of agent character, always going on the go. But he would just deliver Monster. Like, as punctuation.
Yeah.
That was his catchphrase. Monster was...
But it started out as being saying, I had a monster good time last night. It was like a kind of a descriptive kind of
very 90s,
adverb.
Yeah. 90s was a bit like that. These sort of like mad for it or these sort of odd sort of ickle or these sort of little catchphrases or words.
He had a... Monster Eric Hall had a goal bonus written into Dave Pesson's...
Yeah, that's a great story.
Dave Pesson's contract.
Did you hear that story?
No.
He went into a meeting.
Apparently he didn't know much about football, right? He started off being a music agent, didn't he?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he came in. Yeah, the Dave Besant one's brilliant.
He just went up to he was managed. He was obviously looking after a couple of other footballers. Mm-hmm. Dave Besant rang him up and went, "Look, can you look after this contract? I'm being sent to Newcastle in the late 80s." And he went up and he was in the meeting and he goes, "I've got a great guy. He definitely needs $9,000 goal bonus. He needs a $9,000 goal bonus." And he's like, "I'm a keeper. I'm a keeper, Eric."
I think I heard that Newcastle just signed. Yep, that's fine. Yeah, you can have that. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like Newcastle, does it?
He's on pens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's out of it. Oh, dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this. Just even a show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Got an email. No. From Jerome Snyers. Hi, Ramblers. Last Wednesday, you talked about Danny Drinkwater putting together a portfolio of his best goals and performances. This made me think of István Bax, or the Google striker, as he is known in Belgium. KV Kortrijk were in dire need of a left-winger, and their coach came up with Bax as an option by simply Googling the word Linkerenvaller, which translates as a left striker. He came, he saw, he conquered. He scored 17 goals in 58 games for the average side. He was promptly signed by Racing Genk, where he fell off a cliff and only ended up playing a handful of games. He recently signed for Dusseldorf Hook at 34, which he played, who he played for 14 years ago. He played for them 14 years ago, rather, sorry. Keep up the good work and thank you for dragging our sorry arses through this godforsaken year. From Belgium with love, Jerome.
Yeah, and KV Kortrijk are owned by Big Vinny Tan. He of the trousers.
A Vincent Tan, a Vincent Tan. Was he obsessed with red? Was that Vincent Tan?
Yes, it was, yeah. Mm.
He of the trousers.
Yeah, big high trousers, remember?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Cardiff. Second Vinny to get a mention on the show.
So many Vinnies.
Vinny Tan.
Such little time.
Yeah, I know, blimey. Mm. How about that? Well, speaking of people we know taking over football clubs and that, Hollywood is very close to coming to Wrexham. At the time of recording, the deal hasn't been completed yet, but we're very, 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 very close indeed. So yes, 98.6% of those who voted within the Supporters Trust voted in favour, of course, of Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney taking over at the club. I mean, this is quite incredible. You know, it was just over 2,000 Trust members who were eligible to vote. 1,809 approved, 26 were against, and 9 abstained.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting involved in this.
Who are the 9?
Yeah. And we should also say that we are contractually obliged to say that Ryan Reynolds is Canadian.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay. We have to say he's Canadian, because if you don't, all the Canadian listeners will get pissed off. Because I think people assume he's American.
Yeah, because he is.
He's Canadian.
And Andy Murray's English.
Did you see Andy Murray's reaction at the Scotland result?
Is he loving it?
He just went, not bothered.
I was going to say.
Totally massively bothered, but didn't show it. It's probably the crux of it.
Yeah. Apparently, according to producer Charlie, on this very show, we called Ryan Reynolds American for 2 weeks.
Ryan Reynolds.
I'm still doing it.
I didn't really know who Rob McElhenney was.
Yeah.
Have you not seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I haven't.
Yeah. He's this Canadian bloke. Yeah. Well, they're going to be taken over by the looks of it.
I mean, it's great news for fans of online social media content, because they've already released some pretty interesting, fun videos, as you'd expect.
Yeah,
Pete's got his Deadpool costume ready to go, haven't you, Pete?
Well, they're playing Hartlepool tonight, so as the Wrexham Twitter page said, Deadpool to Hartlepool.
Yeah,
tonight.
Nice. Mm. And can you see it, if it happens, can you see a load of fans kind of getting dressed up in their Deadpool gear to go to games?
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, when you're allowed to go to games again. But, I mean, I've got a little bit of experience having a club run by an actual meme. I'd like to say it probably doesn't end well.
Wrexham, I didn't realise it had been under fan ownership since 2011, after they were relegated from the Football League in 2008.
They're one of those kind of clubs that everybody around them in that league are okay on the pitch, but terribly run. they're quite well run, training ground accepted, but they're just absolute trash on the pitch. They do need a change.
Trash.
Absolute trash.
Well, they entered an administration around that time, as I say, after they were relegated and all that. And the supporters really played an enormous part in saving them.
They've got a huge fan base
for
that area. Like,
yeah,
and the amount of amazing players that have come through that area.
Well, it's a huge history. Formed in 1864. You know, we can remember them going sort of, you know, who did they beat? Was it Arsenal in the FA Cup that time?
And, yeah.
You know, Wrexham were one of those sides. They were very much stalwarts of the Football League. So to see them go out and stay out is a bit of a shame. But the fans were so important in saving that club. So it is a funny one because we talk, you know, fan ownership is something that, you know, I think we football fans generally would like to see more of. And it's a very admirable thing. So to see them now being taken over is obviously, like, the fans want that. They've voted, you know, 98.6% speaks volumes.
Do you not think it's like they were poor? They could have gone down again.
Yeah.
I
don't know much about the Wrexham situation specifically, but I support a club that was fan-owned. And the problem, I think, can be that it's very difficult to maintain the investment, maintain the money that you might need. So Portsmouth were able to generate enough investment to own the club, fan-owning, quote, the club, because it was a combination of a load of different fans putting a little bit of money in and some wealthy fans putting a bit more in. But the problem was they were then faced with a huge amount of money as a bill that they had to pay for stadium renovation or something like that. I don't have the information in front of me, but it was something to do with the health and safety. Mm-hmm. Improvements needed to be made. I just don't think they had the money. Yeah. They needed to then find it from somewhere else, which is why they're now owned by Tornante. So it could be a similar situation. And for those who are thinking, oh, Ryan Reynolds is an actor, how's he got so much money? I think he sold like a gin company.
Yeah, Jim was talking about this. Yeah,
he's a serial entrepreneur, isn't he? He sold that gin company to Diageo for $600 million.
But again,
there's the money.
He doesn't have that money. He's got money.
He's got enough money for Wrexham. Let's agree on that.
Yeah, he's got enough to put $1 million and $1 million for the other block. He sort of go, is $2 million? They don't have a training ground at the moment. That's a training ground for me. $2 million quid. So what, like, they've got huge growth potential.
Have you got a training ground? The way you said that was like you've got a £2 million training ground.
Well, it's the dirt track he rides.
The moped.
Yeah, exactly.
You do the moped round. You're wasting your money on that.
That's my CBT training ground. Yeah. That's how I got it. But
you got that lottery winner, Michael Carey, had the whole dirt track put inside his house.
Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah. I'd love to win the lottery. It'd be brilliant. Yeah. And I'd buy Wrexham.
Off them.
Yeah.
I'll take it from here.
But you do worry that is £2 million with the stuff they've got to buy and the changes they need to make on the field, is that enough to get them back in the league and keep them in the league for very long?
Have they got enough of bibs?
Yeah. Have they got enough of bibs? Balls. Basic. Yeah, bibs, exactly. Balls and
cones.
Basics.
Yeah.
I remember there was a big story when Portsmouth were in big financial trouble back in not even the time everyone will recognise, but before that, back in the 90s. And there was a big story on the back of the Evening News, which is a local Portsmouth newspaper, saying that the players are having to wash their own jock straps.
Oh, dear.
That's how bad it's got. So is it jock strap bad? Mm. That's what you should be asking.
Well, hopefully not.
Yeah. Hopefully. I imagine Ryan Reynolds likes to sport a jock strap.
Mm. But I think, you know,
where's that come from?
He just seems like quite a muscly, personable man.
Right. Yeah.
I think he'd be comfortable
in a jock
walking
strap.
Around a dressing room in a jock strap.
Well, and we know a lot of Americans like to do that. North Americans. Yeah.
He is, again, Canadian, and I'm doing you a favour here.
No, North American.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
He is North American.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of North Americans are investing in European football.
One thing Canada don't like is when you call them America's hat.
You do that all the time.
I don't. Uh-huh. I don't call them that. I don't.
You have on this show. That's the reason I know that slur exists because of you saying it on this show.
If Canada is America's hat, what's Mexico?
I'm not getting involved in that.
Pete?
What's what?
If Canada is America's hat...
America's pants?
I was going to say America's beard, because it looks a bit like a beard.
Okay, yeah, fair.
The face is the America, and the hat is a Canada, and the beard could be the bottom.
What's Jamaica? A little bee buzzing around.
Buzzing around, yeah.
Do you know Mindy Kaling? You know, Kelly Kapoor in The Office, the US Office, and obviously star of The Mindy Project. She's a shareholder at Swansea City.
I like it.
Yeah. I want to see a war of words. That's what I want to see. Get them all in. Get all the big stars into Welsh clubs and see them all kick off against each other, although few divisions separate them, of course. But good luck to old Wrexham. See how that will pan out. Gentlemen, I'd like to finish the show by talking about a man who went from handball to international football. At the start of the year, Hilmar Leon Jakobsen represented the Faroe Islands at handball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say Faroe Islands, people just sort of go, oh, okay. Well, yeah.
So, to international striker, bracket sort of.
Yeah, and now he's up front for Italy.
Now you're talking. But no one's told him he can't use his hands. I smell a sitcom.
Yeah, I love this. From handball to international football.
I love watching handball. Handball's one of those things at the Olympics you watch because it's the closest thing to football. Yeah, and it's really exciting.
You do get football at the Olympics.
Yeah. But do you understand? Not on.
Do you understand the rules of handball?
You've got to chuck it in the net.
It's one of those weird sports where it looks like they're breaking all the rules all the time.
Right.
No feet.
They run really close to the goal and just launch it into the goal with their hands.
It's a bit of a hapless task being a goalkeeper in handball.
Mm. Yeah.
I know what you mean, yeah. He said, I've always wanted to be a footballer, but doctors advised me to stop at the age of 17 because I had to undergo a hip operation. They said playing handball would be better for my health, and that was extremely disappointing to hear at the time. Well, get a load of Jakobsen, eh? Mm. Yeah. Two fingers to the doctors.
Yeah.
And they were just advising him, to be fair. They weren't trying to crush his dreams. And he said he's been playing up front for the Faroe Islands. Marvellous stuff. So he said, I'm fully dedicated to football. So, you know, little shout out to the Faroes.
Mm. Yeah, apparently 12 goals and 5 assists in 17 games.
Yeah.
For his club. For his club.
He's an absolute legend in the Faroe Islands. Yeah.
But he's still relatively recently playing handball as well. He played handball in January against Lithuania. And handball's one of those sports that's really big in certain parts of Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, quite a lot of Europe as well, yeah. It's like basketball's massive on the continent. Places like Italy, Greece Turkey, Spain.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge, you know. Yeah. Whereas we're all about the football, which is why we're so damn good at it.
Yeah, if we had the excuse that there was like loads of other sports we were also into, I suppose cricket, but we're kind of average at that as well.
Tennis,
right? Tennis as well. Yeah, exactly.
Oh dearie me. Yeah. Well done, that man. You see, people hate international football, but you know, people like Hilmar Leon Jakobsen, you know, they're living the dream,
and it's still giving us stories to talk about, isn't it, Marcus? The international football tail has wagged, and hopefully it wags all the way through till this Friday's preview show.
You're damn right.
No, there's some football tonight, isn't there? Croatia, Portugal.
It's some big games.
Germany, Spain. That'll be a watchable game.
It will be. And then, of course, England are back against Iceland on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
For another goal fest.
Fucking hell. I was a bit disappointed I didn't get to wax lyrical about England yesterday.
Go on, have a go.
I don't think they're very good.
Have a little spin.
I think people were going way over the top.
Which people?
The people that I witnessed saying that England were good.
Yeah. Some of them said that. I mean, Harry Kane said we were fantastic.
Yeah.
Because it was only a 2-0 loss.
Well, I kind of understand it from Harry Kane because he's the captain of England and he's got to kind of top thump a little bit.
Well, yeah, he's not going to just kind of go, well, that was a bit drab.
But the thing is, if you see on the Amazon documentary, Kane pipes up quite a lot.
Spurs one, obviously.
Yeah, he speaks about, it's a really interesting bit where Mourinho's talking about the players doing something wrong or being too nice or whatever. And it's a team meeting and Kane sat there in front of everyone and he says, look, it's not good enough. It always happens. It's excuses. I'm fed up of it kind of thing. Mm. And it's kind of quite jarring because you think of Kane as being like an unimpeachably lovely man. Yeah. Obviously, he's a very driven, ambitious guy. So it wouldn't be a huge surprise for him to come out afterwards and say, look, this wasn't good enough. But I can understand from a player's point of view why he thought they played well, because they did have a lot of the ball and they controlled a good amount of possession. I just think within the context that Belgium, one, didn't give a shit, two, easily were 2-0 up, and three, England didn't really create anything. It's becoming a bit of a pattern now, so I'm not hugely enamoured. I don't think the Iceland game will tell us too much, but you know they need to settle pretty quick on what they want to do, because at the moment it's set piece reliable too much, and also they can't just turn Grealish into some kind of ersatz Gazza character and hope he carries us to glory.
You see that?
Well, we can hope that.
Yeah, I was about to say
that flick was amazing.
It was.
I don't want to be a dickhead about it. That was a brilliant flick.
I found it odd when that documentary when Harry Kane like was swearing. Right, let's everything, let's go, lads.
Yeah,
You say, oh, I didn't expect.
So like when hear it happen.
So if you hear David Beckham swear, which you never do, but when his statue that when it was. It was probably James Corden or somebody like that. But somebody, they unveiled a statue at LA Galaxy, but it was
rubbish,
a piss take.
Yeah.
And he was like effing and blinding about it. It was like, oh, this is the real David. All you've got to do is mug him off with a statue.
Yeah,
and, exactly. then he's all sweary becks.
That Jack Grealish flick was very much like, not being able to go to a restaurant, but being able to eat a Mars bar. It's a little
we'll
thing you can enjoy.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a nice little disposable bit of enjoyment.
Get it on the gifts.
Yeah.
I mean, it is better than winning the game.
Any game.
We get a week off next Dr. Hobber or something.
I'll tell you now, the year we've had, if you could get into a situation where legally people are allowed to go to bars again and you piled everyone into a bar like you did in summer 2018.
Oh, it would be beer all over the place.
On the big three you just showed that gif. People would be happy with that.
Everyone
that's
be going
the level
mad.
We've got to now.
He's coming. Say that, play the gif again.
Play it again.
Lovely old job. Right, ladies and gentlemen, on tomorrow's show, it's Kate, Vish and Pete.
You're back, Peter.
Scootering back in for another one.
You're wearing a delightfully champagne pink number today. Are you going to wear that again tomorrow?
No, because the way I sweat probably make it all stinky.
Have you not got another layer under the jumper?
No.
That is unbelievable.
What do you mean? Why don't you come in your leathers, your scooter leathers?
My Kevlar jeans.
Can you, Pete, if you would be so kind, because we've got cameras and people can watch us on social, could you do a whole show of just an open face helmet?
That'd be lovely, that. Actually,
who's under there?
How would I put my headphones on the outside of the helmet? Because the helmet I bought is massive. It makes me look like a big light bulb.
Have you got a tattoo, which is like a flaming skull now?
Yeah. I've joined a biker gang. If anyone wants to buy some speed,
yeah, but you've got a scooter. You joined a scooter gang, and you're all going around going scooter.
Is your favourite film Quadrophenia?
Right, we're finishing. Thank you very much for listening to the show, everybody.
We didn't talk about a Brazilian football getting attacked by ants, but we had time to take the piss out of my scooter. Yes. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll get off.
We'll do it tomorrow.
Right. Look forward to that, ladies and gentlemen.
Teaser trailer. That.
Thank Ant you, Luke versus Moore. Man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Dolson.
Ant Man.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good one.
Vroom, vroom.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast snook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.